reading from Matthew chapter 4. Doesn't look familiar, but we'll start reading it. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. That's not the right scripture, so let me read it from Mark chapter 4. That's right. We've got two different scriptures. You notice one's on the sermon and one's on it's actually Mark 4 instead of Matthew 4. Let me start with verse 13 so you remember it. We'll tie it all together for the last couple sermons. It's what we call a hallelujah moment when everything sort of falls apart. Everybody just smiles and says, hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah anyway. Glory to God. Then Jesus said to them, if you cannot understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to utter. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those that hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil, represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but altogether quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay. You know, as people, we have hearing problems, and I don't mean physical hearing, I mean spiritual hearing. We're finishing this series on Showdown at Devil's Ranch, and if we were to get into a gunfight or we were to get into a duel with the enemy, we would want to hear draw, right? We wouldn't want to miss that because we don't want to be the one that gets injured. And so we want to hear the Spirit say when to draw our weapons and how to draw our weapons so that the enemy of our soul will not defeat us. Matter of fact, we know that we're hard of spiritual hearing because in Revelation chapter 7, there's seven churches that are mentioned there. And Jesus says to each one of them, as he's speaking to them, he says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And he's not talking about physical hearing, he's here talking about spiritual hearing. I didn't realize how detrimental it is that I took for granted my physical hearing until the sickness I got back in Thanksgiving, and now I still haven't got my hearing back. I got a tube in my ear, and I still can't hear out of this ear. So if I get really loud when I'm preaching, because I can't hear myself, if I see you putting your hands over your ears, well, then that's the guy who's running the microphone's fault. That's not me. It's not because I can't hear. And so as frustrating as it is to not be able to hear physically, it should be frustrating to us not to be able to hear from God spiritually. We need to hear from the Spirit of God. And He's speaking daily to us. He's speaking at any time. He may speak to us and prod us to do things. And so many times we miss God appointments because we are not in tune with the Spirit the way we should be. There were three old guys, and I'm now in that group, I guess, that were walking together, and they were a little hard of hearing. And the first one said, windy, isn't it? And the second one said, no, it's Thursday. And the third one says, so am I, let's go get a drink. I knew most of you wouldn't get that because you're hard of hearing. There was a man by the name of Morris. He's 82 years old, and he's hard of hearing. He went to the doctor for a physical. A few days later, the doctor sees him walking down the street with a gorgeous young lady on his arm. The doctor goes, boy, that's something. A couple days later, the doctor bumps into Morris again. And he sees Morris and he says, you're really doing great, aren't you? Morris replied, I'm just doing what you told me to do, doc. He said, get a hot mama and be cheerful. The doctor said, I didn't say that. I said, you got a heart murmur, be careful. See what happens when you can't hear correctly? Just happened to work out to Morris's advantage of what he heard, right? But sometimes it doesn't work out for our advantage. And the enemy of our soul, the enemy of the church, the enemy of God, the enemy of Jesus Christ is wanting to block our hearing so we can't hear what the Spirit is saying to us, the church. Say, I am the church. You've got to convince me better than that. I know I'm hard to hear, but I know that wasn't very loud. I am the church.
I am the church.
Look to someone else and say, you are the church.
You are the church.
The Spirit is talking to you.
The Spirit is talking to you.
And the Spirit is talking to me.
The Spirit is talking to me.
See, it's time that we start taking responsibility and blaming everything on the church when we are the church. Right? That's like sawing off your arm and saying, why? I wish my right hand didn't saw off my left hand. Well, let's go on. We're going to talk about five ways that Satan takes the Word of God away from us. We saw there Jesus gave us a parable of how the enemy would take the seed and destroy it so that it wouldn't grow into fruit. The first one is selective hearing. Anybody here have selective hearing? That's when I hear when I want to hear, and I listen only when I feel like listening. Somebody said, you just described my husband. Somebody said, you described my children. And some of your children said, you just described my parents. Selective hearing is when I hear what I want to hear, and when I listen only when I feel like listening. The Apostle Paul said this to the young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He said, for a time will come when men and women will not put up with sound teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And because we have itching ears, we have all kinds of cults, all kinds of churches out there that are off balance. If you are into miracles, and miracles is your thing, you can probably find a church, you might have to drive a little ways, where all they do every Sunday is have a miracle service, and people are healed, and they got crutches hanging on the wall, and wheelchairs hanging on the wall. You may have to go all the way to Kansas City, I don't know. But they're out there. Selective hearing. If your thing is positive confession, and you want to just say all the time, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, and you positively confess things all the time. We had a lady in one church, I'll call her Shirley. She came to church, she had 103 fever, there's mucus coming out of every place in her body, sicker than a dog, she'd been sick for days, and she was going to teach my kids that day. And she's walking around, she's saying, I am healed in the name of Jesus, I am not sick. And I said, Shirley, you are sick. And you are so sick, you're going to get my kids sick, and then you're going to get me sick, and I won't be able to go to work in the morning. Go home. But there are churches out there that teach that. And if you're into that kind of thing, you can go to that because it's selective hearing. There's churches out there if you just want wealth and money, and that's your thing. Prosperity. Christians are to be rich. Well, tell that to the kids and the people in Mozambique and Haiti. That gospel doesn't preach over there. Selective hearing. If not being involved in church is your thing, there are churches where you don't have to go to church. Woo! If speaking in tongues is the only way you can be saved and go to heaven, that's your thing. There are plenty of churches like that. I have a best friend who preaches that gospel. And if you don't speak in tongues, guess what? You're going to go to hell. You not only have to accept Jesus Christ, but there's another condition. You've got to be baptized, as they say, in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. And there's plenty of churches out there like that. Once again, selective hearing. If you're into communal living and you want someone else help to tell you how to run your life, there's churches for that. You can go to Church of Scientology. They'll help you in that area. I don't know if you've been watching those specials. If you want to hear that the Bible is only inspired in some places, there are plenty of churches like that too. Matter of fact, you can go to a Methodist church and they'll tell you which parts of the Bible are inspired and which ones are not. Hello? Well, I'm sorry, the Word of God is the Word of God. The Bible's not like trail mix. You pick out the nuts, the almonds, and you like, and you throw the raisins out. You take the whole bag. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is the truth and the revelation to man today directly from God. If somebody agrees with that, please give me a witness and say amen.
Amen.
Now, ABC News did a little, a survey in order to show how people are not listeners. This was quite a while ago, and they aired their ABC News, and then they surveyed people, and 51% of the people that they surveyed could not recall one of the show's 19 news items. Of the 49% that were remaining, the average person remembered only one item from the news program, and that was the lead story. There was a pastor that was preaching, and his sermon concerned the relationship between fact and faith. And he got up in front of his congregation, and this is what he said. He said, "The fact that you're sitting here before me in church is a fact. That I'm standing here speaking from this pulpit is a fact. But it is only by faith that makes me believe that anybody's listening." Some of you Sunday school teachers know what I'm talking about. It's by faith you teach that class every week. Are those kids really listening? They are, believe it or not. We have a hearing problem. Any husbands here ever pretend to hear your wife when you're watching television, especially the game? Come on, admit it. Your wife will admit it to you. How many of you wives admit that you're listening to your husband when he told you exactly how he fixed the transmission on the car? Oh, you could care less, but you pretend to listen, right? And sometimes we pretend to listen to God. We come in and we go, "Wasn't that a great service? That was a great sermon." But then you ask the person, "Well, what was the sermon on last Sunday?" "I don't know. It was on God." "That was a great service. That was a great sermon." "Well, what was it about?" "I don't remember." It's because the enemy wants to steal the seed away so that no fruit will grow in our lives and we won't be who Christ called us to be. The second kind of hearing is seldom hearing. I get out of the habit of going to hear from God collectively with others at his house and around his table. Mark 16 and 17 sort of relates to that. It used to be from studies that they said that if you did something 21 times in a row, it would turn into a habit. They've done new studies, recent studies, and they found out that it's actually 66 times you have to do something before it turns into a habit. So in other words, you have to come more than a year of Sundays in order for it to be a habit of going to church. Right? Some Christians, it's not even a habit for them to come into the house of God, to be with the people of God, gathered around the Word of God, lifting up their God, being filled with God in order to go out and to serve God. Jesus talks about the seed falling on rocky places. Sounds good, the word sounds good, and he talks about the people that hear it, but then all of a sudden it's just plucked away. It sounded really good, but it had no root because trouble comes into their life and problems and persecution. It says that they fall quickly away. We need to keep hearing the Word of God over and over and over again. Teaching and preaching is like plowing. In the old days, nobody really liked to plow. It was pretty hard to go out there and break some soil. In Missouri, it's really hard to plow. Seems like the further south you get, the more it turns just into rock instead of dirt. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. And it's hard sometimes to get into the preaching and teaching. But that's just the plowing. We don't throw the seed in just after we plow. There's a lot more stuff that has to be done to prepare the field. We need to drag that and smooth it out, and then we need to water it, and we need to make sure that it's nurtured and it's fertilized, and we make sure that the weeds won't overtake it. But that's the way some people are. They hear it, sounds really good, but as soon as a problem comes, the enemy just steals it right away. If you're a worry wart, guess what? You could have heard a great message on the peace of God and how not to worry. And guess what? The enemy's going to do, he's going to steal that seed, and the very next day you're going to be a worry wart. And that's not what God intended when the word's being preached. He wants us to apply it and to be able to become people that it can overcome instead of being overcome. I like what Romans 10:17 says. It says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more that we hear the word of God, the more our faith arises. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The return of Jesus Christ. That's why we have small groups here. We have small care groups. We have women's groups. We have men's breakfast once a month. We have 5 Sunday school classes divided up mostly by age. It's because we need to hear the Word of God so that our faith will grow. And we need to get into the Word of God. Satan will use anything he can to keep you from hearing God's Word. He'll use a flat tire if he can on Sunday morning. He'll use discouragement. He'll be so discouraged all week. He'll just say, you know what, I don't think I can get up this morning. I'm just going to lay in bed. And then my wife says, but honey, you're the pastor. You got to go. He'll use a job or a career that will block us from getting into the house of God and hearing the word of God and being the people of God. He'll get us into seeking pleasure. And the scripture says pleasure is, a sin is pleasurable for a season. So that's about all the Bible says about pleasure. Pleasure has never plowed a field and it's never grown fruit or crops to keep us alive. It's the plowing, it's the planting, it's the watering that we need. Let's go on to number 3. There's scornful hearing. This is when we hang around with the wrong people. This is hanging around with people full of contempt and disdain or haughty and disobedient attitudes. And they're everywhere. We work with them. They're at school. And a lot of times they're even in our own church. I don't know what happened to them. And they're the thorns that Jesus talks about in verse 18. He says people heard the word of God and then the thorns came up and choked the word of God out of the people. And when we hang around thorns, those kind of people, they will threaten our relationship with God. We need to pick the right people to hang around with. What is a haughty person? That's a person that thinks that they're better than other people. They even think they're better than the person that's speaking to them. Sometimes I even despise them. I don't know about you, but I've judged people before they got up to speak. You know, we'll probably have this workshop here this Saturday, and they'll have a guest speaker, and I'll look him over. You know, I think there's going to be something. He's going to be teaching on conflict resolution. And I'm going to look at that person and I'll say, by outward appearance, this guy has no idea, or this woman has no idea what they're talking about. We're just that way. And then we listen. And that's a haughty spirit. We have to stop and listen to what that person's going to say because God is using them as their mouthpiece and as the messenger. Sometimes there's overbearing people that we allow to come in our life that are sort of like bullies and they exaggerate things and they always tell you what they think. You know what I thought about that service? Here you got blessed and then they totally change your whole mind about it. You know? And you know what I think about that person? And then there's the rebellious people. There's people that stand against authority. You need to stay away from those kind of people. They will make sure that the Word of God does not take root into your heart and into your soul. Then there's negative people. These are the people that can find something wrong even when there's nothing wrong. Do you know anybody like that, or is that you? There's always an Eeyore somewhere. Oh, this has been a wonderful week. We've had sun and the weather's been nice. I don't know. It was a little bit too too windy for me. It could have been a little bit warmer. And on Monday, there was no sun at all. No matter what you say, that person's going to have something negative to say. Those kind of people will steal the seed of God's word from your life if you hang around them. Then there's the rebellious people. Those people that stand against authority. They just have an authority figure problem. And they will bring you down. Make sure that you point them out and you identify them. Then there's those who are the pretending Christian. I call them the sham artists. They pretend to be godly, but deep down in they're just being an imposter Christian. And sometimes they can fool us, and we hang around with them, and we really find out they're not the real deal. You know how you can tell if someone's a real deal? They will sacrifice and they will lay down their lives for others. The next kind of hearing is stressful hearing. This is where I let the worries in my life choke out the Word of God. Jesus talked about that. There's a name named by a man by the name of Francis Ellis, and he tells about a man who drew up what he called a worry chart. You may want to try this sometime. A worry chart, in which he kept a record of worries. And he discovered that 40% of them were about things that probably would never happen. Then 30% concerned past decisions that he could not unmake or undo. Then he noticed that 12% dealt with people's criticism. Then he noticed that 10% of his worries were about his health. And then he finally concluded that only 8% of his worries were really legitimate. The devil will use worry to stop you from truly hearing from God. I don't know how old some of you are, but one of the coaches at Ohio State University, his name was Woody Hayes. He came to coach Ohio State football, and he had been coaching with smaller schools. One was Miami University in Ohio. And the first time he went and stood in the middle of the field and he looked around at the stadium and seen almost 100,000 people, I guess his little son was holding his hand, could feel his father being nervous. And this little boy looked up to him and he said, "Dad, the field's still the same size." You see, what the enemy will do, the devil likes to overwhelm us by saying, what's ahead of you is too big for you. You can't handle it. And Jesus says otherwise. Jesus said, you can do all things through him who gives you strength. Altars are what you get from climbing mountains over molehills. You know what I'm talking about? How we turn molehills into mountains. Someone else said, worry is the advanced interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. The last kind we're going to look at is speechless hearing. I listen to misleading, false, and deceitful promises for my life here on earth. One of the things Jesus talked about is some people wanted to be wealthy. And because that didn't happen, the seed died in them. Some people say, I can't be happy or satisfied until I have my future all planned out and figured out. Guess what? The scripture tells us otherwise, to take one day at a time. That there's enough trouble in this day alone to worry about, then let alone worry about tomorrow's worries and problems. Satan will promise to give us the world, you know, but the only thing he's going to do is take us to hell where he is, and he wants us to be failure along with him. I want to conclude today by sharing something that was a few years ago in an Illinois medical journal. Very important. If all we get out of the message today is this. They wrote this: there are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry. 2 days which should be kept from fear. Do you want to know what those days are? I do. One of these days is yesterday, with its mistakes, its aches and pains, its faults and failures. Yesterday is past forever. It's gone, people. It's beyond your control. All the money in the world can't bring it back. We can't even bring a single word back or erase a single word that we said yesterday. You want to know what the other day is? The other day we shouldn't worry about is tomorrow, with its possible problems, with its possible burdens. Yeah. Tomorrow also is the one that's beyond our immediate control. Guess what? Tomorrow's sun's going to rise either in splendor or it's going to be masked by clouds, which seems to be what's been happening for the last month or so. But one thing for sure, tomorrow's going to rise. But until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow. For it's unborn, it's not here yet. That leaves only one day, today. Any person can fight the battles of one day. Right? One day we can fight that battle. That's why I'm going to ask Zach to come up here and help me illustrate something. Come on, Zach, because you're athletic. Right? Come up here where we can see you. All you have to do is just keep some talking, keep moving to the tackle, okay? Just one thing he's concentrating on. So, one day we can fight a battle. He's handled that pretty good. He hasn't dropped it yet, has he? It's only when you add the burdens of the 2 days that I talked about earlier, yesterday and tomorrow, are we liable to break down. Okay, now you got to use yesterday. Go ahead, we'll see you doing. Okay, here comes tomorrow. See, the devil wants us to fight past battles and tomorrow's battles, and neither of them exist. Do you hear what I'm saying? Neither of them exist. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remain in this day. This is the day of salvation. Help us to focus on this day and help us to get through this day. And Lord, may we put all our faith and trust in you for all our tomorrows. And Lord, all the hurts and all the things of the past, we give them to you in Jesus' name, and we just ask you to bury them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand on the promises of God's word.